My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about the Vince Gilligan universe of shows, including Breaking Bad, which we finished, El Camino, which is this episode, and Better Call Saul, which comes next.
Yes. And this week, you kind of took it from me, Gary. You kind of took it from me. Mm-hmm. We are talking about El Camino, the film that was written and directed by Vince Gilligan and released in 2019.
Yeah. I understand your mouth is in trouble.
My mouth is in real trouble, Gary. Actually, no. I had a dentist appointment earlier today, routine work. But my mouth is kind of numb still. It should be coming through fine over the course of the session. It'll probably be wearing off. But if you're noticing a difference, that is why.
Yeah. And it's funny that today you had that dental stuff, because one of the things I noticed, this is only like the second or third time I've watched El Camino. I've seen it, you know, less than I've seen the other show.
Mm-hmm.
How well they take care of Jesse's teeth.
Oh my God. Just like blindingly white.
Blindingly white. Why do TV shows do that? I understand like you got to be Hollywood hot.
Yeah.
You know, but like, come on.
Like color grade it so it doesn't like come across like he is like on like day 30 of a white strips course.
Yeah.
You know?
It's weird model shit.
Yeah.
He looks like such shit and then his face is blinding. The smile is absolutely infectious.
He's kind of like the I just want my kids back guy from from Arrested Development. Yeah.
Too bright.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're doing this one episode. The next episode is going to be our response episode for season 5 and this. Though by the time you hear this, it might be close-ish to too late. You've had a long time.
Probably too late, yeah.
You've had a long time to write in.
You have.
We've said it 1,000 times. this is the immediate aftermath. This is basically the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is the immediate aftermath of Jesse Pinkman after what happened in the Breaking Bad series finale.
Yes. To the point where, like, when this was conceived of, they were going to call it 63. Making this like the 63rd episode that would have been. It is not just the follow-up stuff. There's also a lot of flashback work being done here, showing some of what happened to Jesse in the span of the months that are depicted by Granite State.
Yes. And this is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot to this. Breaking Bad ended in a very satisfying way. You know, Jesse getting away, I felt perfectly fine with that being a question mark.
Yes.
You know, like him just pumping his fist. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that most people consider this to be risky,
mm-hmm.
like fucking with the canon.
Oh, I definitely did when they like announced it and when it came out, like to the point where I put off watching it for a while because I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know that I want to like go out on that limb if it's going to be bad. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it turned out, I like this.
I like it too.
Like, yeah, it's actually good. It necessary is rough.
Yeah.
Is like a rougher question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a lot of what I would have assumed would have happened to Jesse.
Yeah.
You know, if I was doing fan canon, it's nice to get more time with the characters. It's nice to see more of what Jesse's life was like during that. So it's good.
Yeah.
It's a good character focus, given that the last season focused so much on Walt.
Yeah, and getting to see Jesse kind of as his own person now is neat because he is capable, you know? Like, he's tough. You know, he gets out of a really bad situation in this.
Yeah, he's great. He does, he's very resourceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This does have, like, you know, nostalgia bait appeal. Like, this is, you know, a movie that is made for people who have seen the show. So you're going to,
you can imagine watching this.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's just an episode of the show. It'd be wild.
Do I need to see 1 through 62 before I go see 63?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, yes, very much so. Unlike every other time that question is asked, it's actually true this time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So there's a little bit of this that is like, okay, it's kind of a tour of a bunch of characters, you know, just bringing out the old familiar faces. I don't know. I am a fan. I am not immune to being serviced. So
yeah, it's all good stuff, whether it's necessary or not, you know?
Yeah.
It was made, quite a while after Breaking Bad ended. So people aged, You know, these, there's varying degrees of how much you notice this.
Yes.
You know, as you go through, this is going to be a thing in Better Call Saul as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the biggest thing I saw was people reacting to Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
Who gained a little weight, in between times, to which, you know, generally my response to that is kind of like grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't real, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as an actor, he's playing the thing. Like, if this were on a stage play, that could be played by like a kid or a lady or like anything. It's just, it's acting, you know, you're just supposed to see the character and it can take you out of it. I kind of get it a little bit,
But
it's also, you know, I forgive the dude for putting on a couple pounds.
It's one of those, it's like any of those things. It's like, if you see Christopher Lloyd now, you know, like it makes you uncomfortable because it draws attention to the passage of time. Right.
Madonna looks like a demon.
Yeah.
I've said it before. Like, I'm not trying to be mean, but the age and the efforts to fight age have turned her into a Biatsu, and it's scary now. And like, you know, so I get that bit.
Yeah. And, you know, like they're trying to like bring it up in like terms of continuity, like, oh, how did he put on all that weight? And then he's skinny again in the finale, et cetera. And it's like, well, linear time, but also, I look at it and I think, well, he was on a very aggressive course of prednisone.
Yeah, sure.
There you are. Yeah, there you go. Fine.
Who even knows? It you know, they would have explained it if it mattered.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things I want to tell, when people get wrapped around the axle on that stuff, like, imagine the conversation.
Uh-huh.
You know, are you going to be Vince Gilligan and be like, hey, man, you know, I really respect you as an artist, but.
Yeah.
You know, I need you to get some lipo before I do this.
Go do some Christian Bale shit for me.
Yeah, like it's, yeah, come on. Like he's a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
You know, and he does great in this.
Amazing.
You know, you just have to kind of like, you know, fuzz your eyes just a little bit to get over that stuff.
Enter the magic circle, right?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So Vince Gilligan approached Aaron Paul about the possibility of doing some kind of follow-up for the series' 10th anniversary around in 2017, around the time of the 10th anniversary of the premiere. Originally, it was going to be a mini-sode. Like, how disappointing would that have been?
Webisodes.
Yeah.
The Jesse webisodes.
Yeah. But it's like, if we're going to spend the money to shoot this and get people back, let's do it. Well, like, let's actually do it.
Let's do it right. Gilligan wrote this alone. There's no writing room, you know, which he usually had for Breaking Bad and for the early seasons of Better Call Saul. And it went through changes. An early version of this had Jesse doing a crime in order to help a woman near the Canadian border and getting caught so she could go free. Vince Gilligan's girlfriend told him, hey, fans would riot if Jesse didn't get away. I hope everyone in his life told him that sucked.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little on the nose. The Better Call Saul team said, hey, that's what we have planned as well.
Yeah.
More or less, which is, you know, fascinating. They had it planned that far out in advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I don't always get that sense from Better Call Saul.
No, no. I mean, so like 2017, 2018, that would have been around like season 3-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Gene Takovic stuff didn't get a lot of momentum until like season 4, really?
Yeah.
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 Yep. So they changed it and we got what we did. The production process for this was much more relaxed. Filming a movie, you do fewer pages in a day than when you're trying to keep to a TV schedule. So they got a lot of opportunity to do like improvise some things, to get a bunch of like camera coverage. This is a very pretty movie.
Yeah. Yeah. You can kind of see that, that languid pace a little bit in the movie, in addition, you know, both, in terms of aesthetics and looking good, and also kind of it's slightly slower paced. You know, than you what I might expect for this. You know, that was what a lot of the crew, you know, there is some crossover in this with Better Call Saul, you know, obviously in terms of people, and that's a Better Call Saul thing as well.
Yes.
It feels like that's kind of what they had moved on to. The crew went to extreme lengths to kind of keep this production a secret. It has one of those secret names, you know, so this is called Greenbrier. The cast and crew had to wear cloaks on location. Love that.
In the fucking desert, Gary.
Yeah. Give me a skinny Pete and a cloak. Give me Sith Pete.
Yep.
Darth Sithy Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of like cinematography details about this. Like, you know, I only half understand it, so I'm not going to try to relay it here, but that is out there if you want it.
Yeah. If you're interested in that
Yeah.
stuff. Larry Hankin The actor who played Old Joe came out of retirement specifically for this. Mm-hmm. He liked his character so much and wanted to say goodbye to it.
Yeah.
And Robert Forster's family thinks that he held on basically to see the end of this movie.
Yeah.
He died shortly after seeing the cut.
Yeah.
You know, Robert Forster playing the Disappearer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also great performance.
Amazing.
That's sad stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of old men in this.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like, you know, he was in the Twin Peaks return season too. Like, mm-hmm. and like everybody involved in that, like died before it aired. Robert Forster died after it came out. But like, he, you know, like Robert Forster talked to Aaron Paul, like at night, you know, like after he saw it and then he was gone. Right.
Yeah.
It's just great that he got a chance to see it. Right. Because he does really good work here.
The original cut of this was 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The actual movie is 2 hours, you know, and it got a limited theatrical release, which is interesting. I didn't don't think I knew that.
No.
Through Netflix. And overall, this reviewed well. This is well thought of.
Yeah.
It's more Breaking Bad.
Yep.
You know, it's a bonus. It doesn't need the story, but it's all, if you like Breaking Bad, I think you'll like it. My friends at the time, Breaking Bad fans had higher expectations for this, I think.
Okay.
Than I did. I talked to several people who were disappointed in this, largely because it just tells the how something happened. It's not like additional plot in a lot of ways. You know, if the end result is Jesse got away, which is the end result at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a how.
Yeah.
It has a feeling a little bit of like historical fan fiction,
mm-hmm.
you know, in some ways. Once you set your expectations correctly, I think this is really good.
Yes.
But I'm sympathetic to that a little bit because you're starred for Breaking Bad, especially at the time this came out. I was not watching Better Call Saul because I didn't have Netflix or I wasn't interested in getting in on the first couple seasons. I wanted to get a little bit further in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was desperate.
Yeah.
For Breaking Bad. And this does scratch the itch, but it isn't exactly the same.
Yeah. I think that this has to be so concrete and, you know, like, I guess plot light, although like things happen in this, like it is a story, but like it's a story that is made to be told in 2 hours as opposed to, you know, stretched out over 13 weeks, right?
Yeah.
I think that that is a structural thing. And I think that expecting this to be much different than it is kind of one of those things that makes like film adaptations of television shows or really anything kind of a problem. You know, it's time.
Yeah, they're different mediums. Like if you're expecting an entire season worth of development in this, you're not going to get it. I think that people are reacting to like you basically get one episode worth of development in this time of 2 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it is a little languid.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's kind of what people are reacting to.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to Ellen and Noah. Let's get into it.
Let's. So we open in a flashback. We get Mike, and this is, it takes place during buyout, I think. It's them discussing like, hey, we're about to break the news of, you know, parting ways with Walt. And they're standing by the river where Walt would later kill Mike.
Yes. Having this conversation, Mike has already decided he's out. This is where Jesse decides he's out. And they start talking about what they're going to do with their money. Mike says he's going to do what he's always done with it. Just give it to Kaylee. And Jesse asks Mike what he'd do in his place. I love that Mike just says, you know, it's not up to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, come on, man, make conversation.
Yeah.
That comes up later as well as a sentence. And he says, you know, I go to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the last frontier. Anything you go up there, you can be anything you want.
Right.
You know, Jesse kind of nods and goes, yeah, you know, I can go up there and I can put things right. And I love the delivery. Mike goes, no.
That's one.
You know, just a flat out no for a long time.
No. That's the one thing. Sorry, kid, but that's the one thing you can never do. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little wild of Jesse to, you know, spool that out, to go that far beyond it. Yeah.
We cut to him in the El Camino escaping from the reason that we call that is because of the car. Jesse doesn't get a cool new nickname.
No. Like El Camino also means the road. Like this is Jesse's road, road to Alaska or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Escaping from the Nazi compound, screaming, you know, and this is where we left the show. And it does the thing that Breaking Bad does, which is to show you like, no, there are after effects to all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He hits the main road and he ends up pulling off the road and just hundreds of cops.
Yep.
There's a huge shootout there, hides in the car. Like he knows if he gets caught, even though he won't be a meth slave, he can't have that.
Yeah. He doesn't have freedom. He doesn't have a future outside of the system if that happens.
Yeah. there's a scene in the trailer and the teasers for this that isn't in the movie of Skinny Pete being interrogated. Mm-hmm. And he says something like, if you think I'm going to help you put Jesse Pinkman back in a cage.
Yeah.
You know, like not being in a cage is the main want.
Yes. This. Yeah.
just little, El Camino Spanish for the freedom wander.
Yeah, the freedom wander. I was just thinking, like, okay, you can be like, you have the shit pounded out of you by Nazis in the compound, or the shit pounded out of you by Nazis in prison. Like, yep. Just
make your choice.
That's the way it's going to happen. Yeah. Jesse does not want to be around Nazis. So, like, we kind of cut to first person driving footage and the car crashes into a rock. This is Skinny Pete playing a driving game and bickering with Badger about, like, you're apexing too soon.
Yeah. Do you know what that is?
I think it has to do with, like, accelerating through a turn.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means in terms of driving.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're giving each other shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesse gets there, he knocks on the door, and Skinny the Pete just, you know, at first, Skinny the Pete, mm-hmm. at first shows up, and he's just like, who is, you know, can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lost. And then recognizes him.
Yeah.
And Badger recognizes him. And this is, all of this stuff is perfect.
Yes.
Everything with Badger and Skinny Pete is great. Jesse says, listen, I need to get that car off the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And we get them kind of dealing with this thing, like, a lot of empathy for Badger and Skinny Pete in this.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
Like, just the immediate, like, tone changes that they go through. Like, we get a little bit of them, but like, oh, here's reality, right?
Well, last time they heard he had gone to Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And so they told Walt.
Mm-hmm.
They did not know he was still around.
Yeah. Yeah. And here he is in such horrible condition, right?
Yeah. And it's worth it. He's real hard to look at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the stuff, except for his teeth, which are fucking beautiful. They gave him so many scars and everything, and they gave him better dental care than anyone listening to this will ever get in their life.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing you got to say about the Nazis, the compound Nazis, uh-huh. The gang, is they care about dental health a lot.
Yeah. Like weirdly, dental is the only thing they cover.
Yeah. And if you ask Uncle Jack about it, like, he's got some kind of folksy saying about, you know, your teeth and everything, but then you have to hang out with Uncle Jack.
Right. Yeah. Hell starts with the teeth. That's what the Fuhrer says.
Yeah, it's like, all right, man.
Yeah, cool.
Hey, yeah, I appreciate the cleaning, but fuck.
I love that Badger and Skinny Pete are housemates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that too. I think it's a development. I don't think they used to be.
No.
I think we saw one of their houses before. I could be misremembering that.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that moving forward. Jesse, you know, comes and sits at the kitchen table with his gun. He's eating a ramen cup, mm-hmm. cup noodle, and crashes in the bedroom, immediately falls asleep.
Yeah.
And Badger and Skinny Pete don't know what to say.
Yeah.
You know, Badger comes in and is like, hey, check out the TV. Skinny Pete says, no, I don't want to see what's on TV. He's like, it's the news.
Yeah.
You know, like, you actually got to see this.
Yeah. Like, is the news bad? Is it good? It's just, there's a lot of it.
Yeah. Like, it's about what's on your bed.
Yes. So we get a time lapse to morning, and oh God, who's this guy? Raimi?
Raimi.
Yeah. I was giving a press conference about Walt's robot machine gun rampage.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Uh-huh. Like, there was a device. The press asked about a person of interest who was liberated from the compound,
mm-hmm.
There. So just letting us know that they are looking for Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse is in bed. He looks up the ceiling, but instead of the ceiling, he sees the tarp covering his pit.
Yeah.
And he gets up, he starts panicking, trying to get the windows open to escape.
Yeah.
Like, he's been tortured,
mm-hmm.
for months.
Yeah.
You know, one of the reasons why I like this movie and, like, you know, needed Jesse to go free at the end of this is, like, you know, real scared of slavery and torture.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest with you. Uh-huh. Like, what happens to Jesse in this is one of the scariest fates for any of the characters.
Yep.
Including the people who get more pronouncedly fucked.
Yes.
What happens to Jesse is scarier to me than what happens to Marie, or what happens to Walt,
mm-hmm.
or what happens to Ted.
Yep.
Like, it's the scariest thing in the world to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you think, what's his name? Spooge got off easy, right?
Yes. Like, Spooge got super off super easy,
mm-hmm.
you know, even kid Spooge, you know, child Spooge probably got off easy. This is the scariest shit in the world to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, when the finale aired, we're like, oh yeah, no, like, Jesse got away, but he's fucked. Like, yeah. He's fucked forever because of this.
You get to see him.
Yeah.
Fucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like, just, he's having this freak out, and, you know, Skinny Pete and Badger just, like, rush in, you know, and Jesse draws on them. He's like, you know, who are you? What's going on? Just, he's not there, you know, until he finally, you know, sees them.
Yeah. Skinny Pete gets him some new clothes and says, listen, you could probably use a shower to feel good. You need it.
Uh-huh.
You know, church. Skinny Pete runs down all his cologne there. He's got all of it, yeah. including Tommy Hilfiger. Love. I got that obsession. It's the bomb.
Yeah. Badger got him Calvin Klein's obsession for men for Christmas.
Phenomenal. And they say, like, hey, you might not want to shave because it might help you stay incognito.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then I love this bit of Badger, you know, is the slightly less emotionally intelligent of the two.
Yes. Yeah.
In the scene, like, he's having a harder time with this, mm-hmm. right? And he's so nervous. This is like a kid asking teacher if she's married or something.
Yeah.
You know, he's so nervous. He's like, Jesse, did they really, and he can't say it. Mm-hmm. And Jesse goes, what? He goes, did they really keep you in a cage?
No.
You know, and he can't answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, an incredibly fucked up thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just like, okay, just here's the unreality. Like, Badger even, like, seeing the evidence in front of his face, like,
yeah.
Well, actually, it was more of a pit with a grate on top, not a cage.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, it actually wasn't so bad. You should have seen my soiled bedding.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse gets in the shower. We get to see all the filth running off him,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he shaves his head and his beard.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to get this off of him. He leans against the wall, and we get this match cut of the Nazis spraying him down with a hose.
Mm-hmm.
There, and we see all his scars.
Yeah,
on his back. You know, he's freaking out still. Mm-hmm. He's still having flashbacks.
Yeah, you know, I love that shot of him turning off the water and then just like the steam like rising off of him as he like tries to recenter himself.
Yeah, yeah. Scary shit. He looks at his face in the mirror. You know, and we see all these scars on his back as well. Like he was, you know, tortured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Skinny Pete is about to ask why he shaved. And then Badger cuts him off saying, no, looking sharp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this guy doesn't need your constructive feedback right now.
No, no. I mean, maybe he didn't like looking at that face with a beard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanted to feel you know, like himself.
Yeah. You know, and like, and also there's something like when you go through something, you people shave.
Mm-hmm.
You shave your head, you shave your face. That's a thing, like big breakups, things like that. People, you get stuff, everything off you.
Yes.
You know, it is a real human impulse.
Mm-hmm. No. Badger asks, like, hey, do you want a joint? And Jesse refuses it. And, you know, Jesse kind of has his eye on the prize now. Like, he pulls a page from the phone book and asks for a burner from Skinny Pete. Like, he has to go get rid of this car.
Yep. We cut to the junkyard. We see old Joe watching the news. And we see Jesse's file photo from when he's very young. I love that they put this right after seeing him decimated.
Yeah.
You know, reminding us of, like, what this house used to look like in terms of a person. You know, and Jesse calls. He's, you know, yeah, I know who this is at this point. Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how he's gonna react, but then we see him pull up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tow truck. I love this. You know, it's on the house. You know, good kid. Least I could do.
Yeah,
you know, you people gave me a lot of business back in the day.
Old Joe is so solid. Like, just like the first third of this movie is just people being incredibly solid for Jesse.
Yep. I love it, you know.
But like, you know, he's walking around checking out the car. He's sweeping it for signals, you know, and just like talking about the old jobs. Like, yeah, no, just, you know, they back there, you know, magnets. You know, I tell you the truth, I didn't think it was going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just having, you know, having fun.
Yeah.
He's scanning and then the beeper goes off and he immediately jets.
Mm-hmm.
There and they all follow him, you know, what the hell?
Yeah.
And he says, listen, you know, that there's a low jack that's been activated. The cops are coming as in here, as in now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fleeing. I suggest you do the same.
Yeah. Low jack also being how they, you know, track down Jesse to get the JUCO. Yeah.
Yes. And Jesse apologizes to Skinny Pete, like, hey, I brought the cops here.
Mm-hmm.
Shit sucks. He's about to go get in the car to run, mm-hmm. basically. But Skinny Pete stops him. Skinny Pete has a plan.
Yeah. A really good plan that ends up working if Better Call Saul is to be believed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesse takes Badger's Fiero, a car that Badger likes and Skinny Pete makes fun of. I don't know what's wrong with that car. I don't know what's wrong about cars.
It's just a little dorky. It's like kind of like old style. I just, again, mm-hmm. love the trend of Pontiac taking a real beating in this universe.
Mm. Badger is going to drive Pete's car mm-hmm. to the Mexican border, you know, and hide it, but not hide it so well that the cops can't find it.
Yeah.
What they'll say is that Jesse came along, they smoked a bowl, and they traded cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, listen, you know, I've always wanted an El Camino. If they put me under lie detector, that's church.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Pete asked, hey, do you have any cash? And Jesse doesn't, you know, and came here just with, you know, whatever was on his back. So, like, Skinny Pete hands over everything he has. And Badger starts, like, counting out. And he says, no, no, like, give everything. Like, this ends up being a lot of money. This is, like, $8,000-something dollars.
It's everything they got from Walt that wasn't spent already, basically.
Yeah. From Walt to be the snipers at the Schwartzes.
Yeah. They send Badger off, and we get this very, very sweet scene here. You know, Badger says, you know, vaya con Dios, amigo. And as Jesse's about to go, Skinny Pete says, wait a minute, and gives him his beanie, like might help him disguise. And Jesse says, you know, why are you doing all this? You know, and he gets so nervous about it.
Yeah. Like it turns into like a little kid, like even like looks at his feet when he says this.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you're my hero and shit. Right.
Badger and Skinny Pete are baby.
Yeah.
And they must be protected.
They are baby. I love the innocence of that. Like also like Jesse shouldn't be your hero. He got you into a lot of trouble actually.
And he's done a lot of morally complicit shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in the worldview of these dudes as to what is cool. Jesse is exceedingly cool.
He's a legend, you know, right?
Yeah. Everything that he had done that was super traumatic for him and made him want to suicide.
Yeah.
Was cool to them. Pete gets in the El Camino to move into the driveway, and he's just kind of like rubbing his hands along it.
Yeah.
You know, sweet little bit. And as Jesse's pulling away, we see every cop in Albuquerque go to Skinny Pete's house.
How many robberies happened? Like after you see this, it must have been like 50 cars.
It's ludicrous.
Yeah.
And we get a flashback. Mm-hmm. We start now kind of in the middle of the movie. We're going to be jumping back and forth between present time and kind of a major incident.
Yes. Todd comes to get him. It's, you know, morning. You know, asks, like, everything good?
Everything good.
He lights a cigarette for Jesse and then sends it down on some twine with a binder clip.
This is all of the characterization here for Todd is great.
Oh, I love it.
Todd does not see other people as people.
No.
You know, to him, Jesse is another tarantula in a cage. Mm-hmm. And he does not understand in any way. You know, to Todd, the world is that which is the case. Mm-hmm. There is no reason why Jesse should have any feelings about this. This is just how things are.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you just make the best of a good situation? Why can't we just talk? We're both in the situation. You know, you're in the situation. You know, we know each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why might as well be pleasant?
Yeah.
And he doesn't see any difference between that and like a coworker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or anything like that. That's the same kind of shit that he did when he killed Drew Sharp.
Right.
You know, he did it without thinking. It was just casual as part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
He does not think of people as people.
No, no. And does not at all notice how fucked up the situation is with Jesse. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's making small talk about the weather, talking about precipitation percentages. Right. And Jesse just like, you know, being mostly silent, but sometimes lobbing it back. Yeah. Well, yeah, those guys aren't always accurate. Like,
yeah, the weather is no, you know, just this twisted like circus mirror version of a work water cooler conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Todd says, guess what? You know, we're alone for the whole weekend. You know, Jack took all the guys to Elephant Butte to enjoy this new speedboat. I'm not really into speedboats. You know, listen, I was wondering if you could help me with something. I love this too, because Todd's breaking the rules.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Todd shouldn't be doing this as a thing, so he's a little nervous as well.
Uh-huh.
This is the whole movie is full of people kind of regressing to childhood.
Yeah.
In terms of how they act.
Mm-hmm.
Is listen, we have some ground rules. Try to escape. I'm going to have to visit that little boy.
Yeah.
You know, I won't have a choice.
Yep.
You know, just know that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So like they're going to be going off site, and like Todd tries slicking down Jesse's hair with some spit so he doesn't draw as much attention. Like a cowlick is going to be the thing that makes or breaks it.
And it's the thing your mom does to you.
Uh huh.
Like, again, it's a very caring thing, like you would do to a pet.
Yeah.
You know,
also like a pet, like these next two things, I'm going to do a better job of keeping you clean from now on. Promise. And then like after Todd drives Jesse to his apartment, like Jesse's hiding down on the footwell, like he reaches down and pats Jesse on the head and says, good job.
Yeah. It's real gross.
Yeah.
You know, Todd is a real fucker.
Yeah.
So he gets his help putting a cap on his El Camino and turning it into an ugly truck.
Yeah.
You know, we're back in Pleasant Time. Jesse's listening to the radio. It confirms that Lydia is in the hospital in critical condition, not expecting to survive, and that Walter White is dead. Mm-hmm. Take that, fans. Yeah. We're like, they're coming back. And Jesse's sleeping under his usual overpass.
Yeah.
You know, sleeps until morning and then goes to Todd's apartment. This is present day.
Yes.
And the day, the door is crossed with police tape. The police have already been here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real broad character in here, in Lou.
Yeah, he's a real busybody. Yeah.
Yeah, we got Lou.
Yeah.
It was a straight up like Call of Cthulhu DM, like rolling something on the random encounter, like a busybody neighbor.
Yeah.
He's watering the plants. Jesse barely gets in time.
Mm-hmm. And instead of seeing what it looks like now, we flash back to Todd's apartment, you know, back when he was, you know, still alive and in control of the situation, you know, and, you know, he's rich, right? They've been doing crimes. Mm-hmm. He's living pretty well in this kind of nice, but very creepy apartment.
Yes. He's talking to the old guy and Todd comes back in saying, oh, that guy's always lurking around being nosy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was in Vietnam, which I totally respect, but still, Todd.
Yeah.
His apartment, he's, you know, what do you think of my apartment, Jesse? You know, everything is very pastel.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, man, I just think was thinking of pastel like Easter eggs.
Yeah. Just, man, like just the character study in this apartment, you know?
Yeah.
Just, you know, like the way soup. That it presents. Yeah. Oh God, all the soup, like that little, like, just like Ted Cruz detail of like all of the, all of the Campbell's soup that he survives on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Todd says, you know, he talks about painting it, you know, and he's like, Jesse says, is that what you need help with? He says, no, it's not that.
Well, maybe.
Maybe if we have time. And he goes, it's actually this. He brings him to a room and there's a dead woman on the floor with a belt around her neck. Mm-hmm. And Jesse freaks out.
Yeah. You know,
as well, you would.
He reacts like a human would to seeing a strangled person, you know, by surprise on a living room floor. Right.
Yeah. And Todd, I love this. Like, you know, please don't make me feel worse than I already do. You know, I don't really want to talk about this.
Just, I don't want to talk about my bad haircut.
Exactly. Like this corpse on your floor.
Uh-huh.
So they roll her up in a rug. Todd remembers to get his belt, puts it back on.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to wait for an hour for that Lou to go bowling or whatever.
Yeah. I'm going to need this murder weapon as he threads it through his belt loops.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't leave that evidence, you know, and also needs a belt.
Mm-hmm.
And offers Jesse some soup. He's got chicken noodle and chicken and stars.
Uh-huh.
That's the detail that I love in this.
It's the same soup.
It's the same soup, but being like, chicken and stars. cream of chicken, bean and bacon.
Uh-huh.
There. And Jesse doesn't want the soup. He's still, he can't just have a meal, you know, while this woman's here. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah.
You know, so he says, what did she do?
Yeah.
You know, and, Todd pulls out an encyclopedia on the encounter with money inside it.
Mm-hmm.
And just, oh, she was stealing money. And he takes offense at this.
Yeah.
Like, no. You know, like, she's great. Don't talk ill of this woman I killed.
Right. She was honest as the day is long. Like George Washington honest. Gee, shucks. But we found it.
Yeah.
And I can't have anybody finding it.
Yep. You know, I wonder what the heck she was looking up. You know, maybe M for Mexico.
Maybe.
Is what he says. Because it's the M.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't speak English, so she might have been looking at the World Book Encyclopedia entry for Mexico.
God. Just like the fact that he has no interiority means that nobody else does.
It's a really good character portrait of him. And they're going to take her and bury her somewhere. He's like, where are we taking her? And he's somewhere pretty. She deserved that.
Yeah.
You know? It tells Jesse to go put the book back in his bedroom, and Jesse notices a terrarium holding Drew Sharp's tarantula.
Yeah, like his weird dark bedroom that we never get to really see all of back there.
Full of snow globes and like Precious Moments models.
Uh-huh.
It's like Warhammer, but for old ladies.
Yeah, the snow globe things. Like just one of my favorite little lines from an Akewood comic is, yeah, he's definitely picturing a simple apartment decorated with owl posters.
Yeah.
Like, this is a simple apartment decorated with owl posters. Posters.
Yeah. Very funny. We go to present day, and Jesse is looking through all the books, trying to find the money. He cannot find the money.
Yeah.
He remembers Todd saying that he's going to need a new hiding place. Jesse says they got these things called banks, and Todd doesn't dignify that with a response.
Mm-hmm.
says, no, I think I've got the perfect siding spot, but it's going to require some engineering.
Yeah.
You know, nothing beats cash on hand. That's what Uncle Jack always says. You know, and so he's using this clue to try to find the money.
Yeah. Like, and we get kind of this montage. He's searching using his lighter for light. He doesn't want to draw attention by turning on the lights. He feeds the tarantula, Drew Sharp's tarantula, just because, you know, can't let it go hungry.
The stay of execution.
Yeah. He checks inside the fridge first and then completely tears the place apart. Like, even checking under the sink where he would have hidden his own meth, he checks behind a baseboard.
He destroys it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's looking out the window. He sees somebody watching the news, and then the news are interviewing his parents. So he finds the same channel on Todd's TV. Mm-hmm. If you were Jesse's parents' heads, you don't get his brother, but you do get Jesse's parents.
Yes. Yeah. His brother is at a band function in London.
Yes. You know, and they ask his parents, is there anything you wish you could say to your son right now? And they say, please come forward. Too many people have, you know, for your sake, for everybody's sake, turn yourself in.
Yeah. That little pause, like she can't bring herself to like say that her child was involved in people's deaths, you know?
Yeah.
Not a bad instinct for somebody who's outside, you know, outside the life, right?
Yeah, not at all. It's what any parent would say.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like.
Yeah.
So we flash back. It's Todd whistling for Jesse to push the cleaning lady's body out the window.
The way that this just falls and hits the ground. Oh my God.
A little detail I like is Todd driving along. They're listening. He listens to AM Gold.
Uh-huh.
He listens to songs from the soundtrack for the Netflix original series Dahmer. basically.
Yeah. Like, he's a real big yacht rock fan.
Yeah. He's just singing it along, sharing the night together. And it's like a sweet song. I love AM Gold.
Uh-huh.
I love that shit. And a semi comes by and he does the Hong Kong sign. It's a fucking child, mind of a child.
Yeah. And like Jesse just like sitting there, just like not sure how to react. I mean, being off the compound for the first time in possibly months.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get to a place. Todd is smoking while Jesse digs the grave. You know,
like the fact that like Todd doesn't pitch in, like he still understands like who does the labor here.
Yeah. He's still a dog.
Yeah.
You know, this is the job. This is the dog's job.
Yeah.
You know, but they did go to a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're surrounded by hills. It's in the Painted Desert in Arizona.
Yeah.
And Todd says, Jesse, do you want to say any words? And he goes, no.
Like, I didn't know her.
Yeah. What are you, the woman you killed?
Uh-huh.
For no particularly good reason? Like, fuck, man.
Uh-huh.
No.
So Todd like gives his words, just saying, oh, she was an excellent housekeeper. And like that was it. Like, doesn't have anything additional, nothing inside him.
And some part of his body he knows she didn't deserve this.
Yes.
But that part of his can't escape.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is it peeking through.
Yeah.
You know. He sends Jesse back for some cigarettes in the glove box, and he has a gun in the glove box. Jesse grabs it. And I love this scene.
Yeah.
Todd just like, I'll take that now, Jesse.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'll take that now. And he won't give it to him. This caused a lot of chat online.
Uh-huh.
Because ultimately, you know, Todd convinces him not to shoot him, steal his car, and do El Camino now.
Yeah.
You know, he says, listen, you know, on the way home, I was going to get us some pizza, maybe a six pack of beer. Doesn't that sound good? Because you earned it today. You know, you really did. What kind of pizza do you like? You know, treating him well.
Uh-huh.
Here. And I think people who are like, oh, why didn't Jesse just take the gun and then go save Brock
real
fast? Like, one, you know, as much as it might be fun to have him and Brock on the road running from Nazis for eternity, I understand why that's not a very satisfying story and why Jesse wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and two, he's been tortured.
Yeah.
A lot. Like, when you're tortured and somebody, like, offers you something nice, like, you know, it's not Stockholm syndrome, but it does something to you.
Yeah. It changes your expectations. Again, though, like there's, you know, regression here too, right? Like he has not had to function as an adult. He has, you know, not been getting anything. Like, I think it's like, oh man, like it was back in like the main series where like he was rewarded with just like the scraps of whatever ice cream was left. You know?
Yeah, they gave him a little bit of both of the ice creams.
Yeah.
You know, and Uncle Jack told us not to do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we're going to see him like actively tortured later in the episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to this, when people see the scene, they're like, oh man, he should have just like shot him and bolted.
It's like, well, yeah, but.
Well, you're playing the character like an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're not, that's player knowledge, not character knowledge.
Yeah. Like, you know, it is so heartbreaking and well performed, and it feels appropriate enough that, like, I am not going to, like, rip it apart with, like, here's how I would have optimized my strats.
You can't be in the same situation. There's no optimization. Yeah. You know? Uh-huh. Not you. I mean, anybody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Doing this. You know, so Jesse just answers. He goes, pepperoni.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica and
pepperoni classic. Yeah.
Classic. And Jesse kind of like cries and loosens his grip on the gun,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I, again, this moment, Todd takes the gun and tries to comfort him,
mm-hmm.
Kind of grabs him by the shoulder, almost tries to embrace him.
Mm-hmm.
Like there, I forgive you.
Yeah.
You know, because he grabs him and he says, hey, look at that view. You know, this should be a heck of a sunset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Uncle Jack says life is what you make it.
to a person who has no control over his own life. Yeah.
Absolutely brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Back to the present, Jesse's doing a search, ripping up the carpet, yanking out fixtures. We get a little overhead view, a little stunt view, like a Sims.
like a Hotline Miami kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I that was cool. Like, I'm not made of stone.
It looks neat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this is the kind of thing that my friend, the people I talked to who were irritated this episode, were irritated about, like the time-lapse tricks and stuff, the cinematography.
Okay.
Stuff like that. That is neat. But they wanted more things to happen, you know,
which I kind of get.
I'm at peace with it now, but I understand that impulse.
Yeah, it's like an 8-second shot.
Yeah. Well, it's like an 8. We've already seen this happen as well.
Yeah.
We've seen him tear apart the place.
Oh.
Eventually he sits against the fridge, bangs his head on it, and hears a sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, starts ripping out the shelf inserts, and a wad of cash falls out.
Yep. He's found it. Like, he has money. He has what he needs. Mm-hmm. And then there's a knock on the door and two guys very clearly dressed as policemen. Like it's just windbreakers over street clothes come in.
Mm-hmm.
And they come into the apartment and Lou, the old man, you know, floats by to offer additional information, you know, and to talk the ears off. He wants to be like this police hero. Like, oh yeah, no, I knew him, you know, never trusted him.
Yep. I already helped those other detectives. If you need more help, I'm just down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know everything. He wants so badly to make this about him.
Yes.
The way old men do. You know, they close the door on Lou and they put their gloves on to do the search,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they see that it's already been ransacked.
Yeah.
You know, they think the police did this.
Mm-hmm.
Here. The redheaded guy comes back, the assistant to Candy, comes back and sees the tarantula tank.
Mm-hmm.
And sees one of Todd's snow globes. He's like, yeah, no crazy in this house. Yeah. This is normal.
There's a mini-sode that shows Todd making this. Also, making your own snow globes. Good Lord.
Fucking, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, in terms of TV tropes said it worst, he moves the heat lamp and doesn't put it back,
mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people are like, oh man, that's real nightmare fuel because that tarantula is going to die from not having heat. And I'm like, the tarantula is going to fucking die.
Yeah.
I don't think the police would have left it there. I think if the police search an apartment, they don't leave living creatures there.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, but at the same time, like, now you know, Jesse gave him a stay of execution by feeding him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to starve to death because he's just alone in this apartment.
Yeah.
And he's going to start paying rent. Like, what do you think was going to happen to that fucking tarantula?
Yeah. I don't know if there exists like a tarantula rescue or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But the snow globe, it's supposed to be Todd and Lydia. You see that there are hearts floating instead of snow. Did you know
that's
that
very
if,
sweet.
Like if you drink the stuff inside of a snow globe, you will die almost instantly and extremely painfully. Yeah. No, you're right. Sorry.
Shit.
You had it right. It's a very quick and very like terrible death as your kidneys melt.
what is it?
It's not propylene glycol because that is what you vape, but it is not that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you could vape the inside of a snow globe.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, you want that inside you. That's how you get the ice powers.
Yeah, you got to vape it. That's how most of the X-Men came from, experimental vapes.
It's basically antifreeze is what it is.
Okay. Gotcha. The redhead guy bends down to pick up a prescription bottle and Jesse draws on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm no cop killer. If you be cool, I'll be cool. Call back to your partner. And I love this.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse doesn't realize they're not cops yet.
Yeah.
So this redhead guy who is a real piece of shit does something really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of calling to his friend, he says, Lieutenant.
Uh-huh.
If it's just them in the apartment, there's no reason for him to do that.
No, not at all.
You know, so he's signaling to Candy that there's somebody else back here.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Candy just kind of like creeps back and asks like, hey, what's waiting back there for me, Casey?
Yep. And we get in this kind of like standoff.
Uh-huh.
There. You know, Neil says, yo, what are you doing here, Pinkman? Or immediately recognizes him. Jesse doesn't think this is weird either.
Uh-huh.
His cop knows would know who he is.
He's a wanted man. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, you there's, they start talking about having backup downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we, like people are going to come up here, we got, you know, 7-8 guys. I heard it was 9.
Uh-huh. Like really, again, a lot of thinking on their feet. Like Neil Candy ends up kind of, you know, nailing this.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. They convince him to give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he does, you know, okay, I will go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
The cops are here. Like, it's not a Nazi torture prison. This is going to suck, but yeah. I'll go. They get him on the ground, but when they start tying him up, they tie him up with an extension cord.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse goes, how about some handcuffs, you know? Just like, yeah. Great little soundbite there.
Yeah.
He slashes him and he figures it out.
Yeah.
You know, they're not cops.
Yeah. And they try and gag him with a sock and he tells them, hey, you know, I know where the money is.
This is when Lou comes to the door.
Mm-hmm.
Says, you know, listen, I thought of some more information. The thing he found was a note.
Uh-huh.
That, so for a handwriting sample analysis that he can do. You know, Casey, the red-haired guy, goes and talks to him while Neil has Jesse, you know, show him where the money is.
So the actor for Neil, it's kind of weird to watch because he looks just enough like our friend Zach. If he was like a little bit heavier, that it like tricks my mind a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
You know, he's got that look for sure.
Yeah. But also, like, he's, you know, just, I don't know, like, kind of an unnerving presence.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Interesting piece of shit. Like a Tuco Jr.
Yeah.
Like a low-rent side Tuco.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see as he interacts with his friends later.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse starts loading up a trash bag with his cash. And Neil's like, what the fuck? You know, mm-hmm. Like, you're lucky enough to get out of here with your life.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, go ahead and shoot me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that old man, you're going to shoot every witness in here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be as fucked as I am. So what's it going to be?
Yeah.
And Neil compromises.
Yeah. Says like, okay, 3-way split and you've already taken your third.
Yep. Get on out of here. He calls Casey and tells him the news they got the money while Lou is filling up a tea kettle. and he says, can you keep him busy for another 5 minutes? And he's like, yeah, I think I can do that.
Since I got the Brita, the tea tastes noticeably better.
This guy. They walk out with their bags of money, and Jesse says, can I get my gun back? And he goes, fuck you, go buy one. And this is a real, you know, tragic moment here where, Jesse recognizes him,
mm-hmm.
You know, he gets a truck marked Candy Welding Company. And, Jesse's like, you know, I know who it is. And he's kind of shitty and grin. Like,
yeah.
I was wondering when you were going to remember who I was.
Yeah.
You know, when you're going to remember me.
The amount of glee that Neil takes in like, kind of like just having Jesse like literally twisting at the end of a line is again, real unnerving.
Having him, you know, the joy he takes at having have been part of the torture, like he's into it.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks.
Yeah. So Jesse has been going around checking for like vacuum repair places, seeing which one is the one. And he pulls up to the last one, Best Quality Vacuum, and he sees the red mm-hmm. van out back. He was told to expect the red van. So like, okay, this is a connection.
Yep. And he actually saw the van. Like, he was told to expect it, but he saw it and walked away.
Okay.
Yeah. So he heads on back inside. Ed is with a customer. Who does not want to buy a new Dyson, just being a good vacuum guy.
So,
the customer leaves.
Why don't they make things to last anymore? You're singing my song.
Singing my song. Yeah, I bet you I can fix that. It'd be less than a new Dyson.
Uh-huh.
I'm not paying for the color. I hear you.
Uh-huh.
The customer leaves and Jesse turns the sign to closed,
mm-hmm.
locks the door.
Yeah.
And Ed just, you know, you shouldn't, please don't do that. I am open for business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ed on some level knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, he knows what this guy looks like. He was one of his clients. Uh-huh. He made a fake ID for this guy like a year ago.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
He's got to, you know, he's got to keep up the facade, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, try to contain this problem. And Jesse walks up and he's all twitchy and nervous. And he's like, I'm looking for a Hoover something, a filter. Look, I don't remember the exact like password, but it was a vacuum thing.
You know, and Ed says, I don't know what you're talking about. He pulls out his money and starts putting it on the counter, puts mm-hmm. $125,000. He's still not wearing a wire. And Ed doesn't respond. And he says he does what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he apologizes as a professional.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry for not being there for that pickup. You will never know how sorry I am
mm-hmm.
for that. Like, that would have been a different life.
Yeah.
You know, imagine,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, being confronted with the, one of the singular decisions that resulted in that much pain.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
And
this kind of cracks Ed a little bit.
Yeah. Says, you owe me for that first pickup. You know, the money that he put on the counter, that's previously owed. Going forward, that will require another $125,000.
Yeah. And Jesse says, shit, okay. You know, he pulls out the rest of his money. He's got $123,000,
mm-hmm.
including the money he got from Skinny Pete and Badger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's $1,800 short. And he's at no deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, agreed amount or no deal.
Yeah.
Ed starts packing the money, saying, listen, you want some advice? Travel at night.
Mm-hmm.
Take this money. You can get really far with it.
Yeah.
With a little luck, you'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you have to leave.
Yeah. And, you know, Jesse is trying to play for sympathy. You know, saying like, hey, you know, you don't understand. They kept me in a cage. You know, they killed this kid, blah, blah, blah. You know, he says, you know, from where I sit, you made your own luck, as did your partner, as did your lawyer. You said it yourself. A deal's a deal. Right.
Yeah.
Like
and Jesse tries to hardball him,
mm-hmm.
you know, at this point. And he says, I'm going to stay here. Ed grabs the phone and calls the police. So there's a young man who's in there. Jesse tries to get him to stop. Ed gives the address. And then Jesse says, oh, no, that was a fake call.
Uh-huh.
There. He comes in using experience he knows from calling 911 on Jane.
Uh-huh.
You know, when Jane died. Like, listen, you know, that's not how 911 works. You can't just hang up.
Yeah.
They tell you to stay on the phone. And then if you don't, they call you back immediately.
Yeah.
You know, so next time you do that, try to fake it better.
You know, like, this is classic Jesse coming back out. Like, he's getting, like, he's got his cocky swagger, which, like,
yep.
should be a, you know, it's a signal. Like, okay, something is going to happen. And it does, because he's, like, you know, being kind of smug about it. And then the police pull up front and Ed says, well, you got to love that response time.
And he immediately bolts. You know, funny moment.
Yeah.
You know, there comes back for his money. Ed covers for him, giving he's like a 6'6" guy with an interesting tattoo of a bug
was,
over his
it
eye.
It was an insect over his left eye.
Insect of some kind, interesting tattoo. And Jesse calls and says, listen, a deal's a deal. Your word is your bond, mm-hmm. right? You know, and he says, yes. He's like, I'll get you your money.
Yeah. He knows where to get it. He knows yep. that he has to go after Neil, go after Candy.
Yep. We get the kind of scene. Let's say I was going to cut something.
Mm-hmm.
From this movie, it'd be this.
Yeah,
You know, he calls his parents. They talk to him on the phone. You know, ask how they're doing. They say they've been better. You know, can't talk to Jake. Jake's on that band trip, and they urge him to come forward. And he says, "Hey, you know that lake where we used to have picnics?
Mm-hmm.
You know, come meet me there. Listen, it's probably too late to say this. I don't know if it'll mean much to you, but you did your best, and whatever happened is on me. You know, it's nice that he gets to do that.
Yeah." Yeah.
As a thing. It's just a long, like not that, kind of a long scene for him getting a gun.
Yeah. Two guns, importantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing this, like, if his parents played a bigger role in the series, I could see this being a bigger payoff. Like, and as it is in the script, it is not, it's ambiguous whether or not he really means what he says here, right? Like, I think that he does yeah. like own, you know, the mistakes that he has made here, but like how much he needs them to hear that is up for question, right?
It's also a thing where I was expecting him to be looking for money.
Yes. Yeah.
The first time I saw it, and like they could have, that's, it's not, $1,800 is a lot of money just to have in cash, but it's mm-hmm. not so outlandish.
Yeah.
And like they have jewelry and shit like that. Like mm-hmm. it feels like he could not do this wildly risky plan.
Uh-huh.
You know, if he was going to do this, like if he did not want to risk going to his parents thinking, oh, they're going to be watching my parents or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I could see this not being there and him just getting a gun another way
yeah.
and doing the plan. It feels like this short circuits the need for the plan.
Yeah.
You know, but Breaking Bad's kind of a Western and we haven't had a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to have that.
Yeah.
In this. And it's a great scene. You know, it just kind of takes me out of it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
You know, he hangs up, he rips his burner apart, and then, like, waits for them to leave and watches a stakeout car follow, and another stakeout car stays behind.
Yep. But he sneaks in, gets the loose key, gets into their safe. They change the combination from his birthday to Jake's birthday, which is sad. Yeah. And then finds two guns inside, a Luger, a 22, and a compact revolver.
Yeah.
Then he looks up the address for Candy Welding.
Mm-hmm. And he goes and he sneaks through the fence. And Neil comes outside to guide some strippers in. They just got a huge payday. Let's throw a party for our dirtbags.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The bouncer shows up. This is the guy from Better Call Saul,
mm-hmm.
who Man Mountain.
Yeah.
one of the bodyguards.
Yeah.
Was hired by Price.
Clarence. Yeah.
Yeah. Candy says he's going to do all of it. Mm-hmm. Give me the perks.
Yeah.
The perks are extra. I want those perks.
Yeah.
Scumbag shit.
Uh-huh.
And him saying this, doing this kind of like, yeah, perks are extra, gives, you know, Jesse has a flashback to how he knows him.
Yes. Which is after Jesse tried to escape, they brought Candy in to reinforce like the chain rail that he was on, like dog run kind of thing. Like, I don't even know what to call that. His torture leash.
It's a dog run. He talks about it being, you could like hang a 747 from it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so probably for hanging heavy machinery,
mm-hmm.
and moving it to work on it.
Yeah.
And he's a professional here, but Kenny's very critical,
mm-hmm.
of this. It's like, listen, you know, Jesse, we have a unique situation. You know, he tried to rabbit on us once, and I fear he's going to find a way to break this thing.
Yeah.
Do you stand by your work? I got 50. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I'll take your 50. And also, you know, we'll put up more of these josts.
Mm-hmm.
And flywheels and wing pivots.
Fish plates. And these diagonal parts.
Diagonal parts there. So this is a horrible torture thing, treating Jesse like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
They tell Jesse to run and try to break it.
Mm-hmm.
I love Todd being like, well, if he breaks his legs, he's not going to be able to cook.
Yeah, so they take off his leg irons.
Yeah. And this looks like it hurts so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, like running full speed against a thing that's going to grab you and like kind of throw you into the air, mm-hmm. like a chain.
Yeah.
Here. And just makes him do it again and again. Run, boy! You know, just screaming at
him. Like chasing him along again like a dog. Just the humiliation, you know, even just like the humiliation on this, right? Like, oh, here's a stranger. You know, probably anybody from the outside, I would hope they would be sane. No, they're a part of it. Like, all that Cannon needs to hear is that he was a rat. Like, okay, yeah, no. Yeah,
he doesn't even need to hear that. He gets told that. At first, he's just like, oh, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Like, imagine seeing this and just being like, none of my business.
Yeah.
Like, as long as I get my 50.
Nothing to be concerned about.
Yeah. There's a rat. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
You know, horrible. Jesse waits for the strippers to finish up, you know, and they had a bad time. They just want to go to bed and watch TV.
Yeah.
And the guys are drunk and high and storing rails of cocaine off a mirror. And he comes in before everyone knows,
mm-hmm.
Before everyone notices. I really like it.
Yeah.
Casey turns off the music and everyone sees that he has walked in.
Yeah. You know, and says like, hey, I'm here for more money. My split wasn't enough. And he'd like to say like, no, I'm doing this. Like, I'm asking for this as a favor. Like, I just, you know, I need it. And Neil has complete control over this crowd.
Yeah, that's the Tuco bit.
Yeah.
Like Casey, the redheaded guy, starts going, split, you gave this motherfucker some money, and Neil just, you know, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then eventually has to get more and more menacing with him. You know. How do you plan to pull this off? And they're all like high on coke.
Yeah.
And you know,
that's the only reason this situation happens. Like nobody who is not like just completely out of their mind on cocaine agrees to a shootout.
Yes. I think that generally
that's cocaine ideas.
Call it cowboy powder. that's why. Yeah. I'm not here to rob you, it's a favor. And Neil he has a gun for protection. Neil laughs at his gun.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, you got a 22. It's Luger. Well, how about, we got some empty beer cans around here.
You want to go plinking?
Yeah, you want to go plinking. You know, it is a bad gun.
Yeah. I love this, laughing at his gun as though it wouldn't suck just terribly to be shot with a 22.
Yeah. It's probably, my understanding of guns is like a 22 or a 9mm, like it doesn't have stopping power if somebody is really determined.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you get shot in the head or face.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're still kind of done. Like it's still pretty risky.
Yeah.
You know, still a gun.
You're still shot.
Yeah. Casey keeps trying to threaten him. He's like, if you give him one more dollar, and he stands up and gives him the Tuco stare,
mm-hmm.
Until he stops. He closes the door, so everyone is kind of trapped in the room with him,
mm-hmm.
and says, listen, let's do a shootout like the Wild West.
Yeah.
You know, you're 22 versus my 44. Winner take all. You know, where is your money? Oh, it's in my car. My money's over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And these coked out douchebags, like, all scoot to the side.
Yeah. And this is great. Like they're, you know, they have a tense,
this is really good.
They have a tense standoff, you know, you get the steely eye look and, you know, the hand kind of hovering, you know, near the holsters or whatever. And Neil draws first, but Jesse, you know, he doesn't have to draw. He already has his hand on the smaller revolver in his pocket.
Yes. Yeah. Shoots through his jacket, points at him.
Mm-hmm.
And kills him. Casey reaches for a gun and Jesse picks up Neil's gun and shoots him in the head. Mm-hmm. They shoot back and forth a bunch. Just, I love it when movies and TV shows show how hard it is to shoot moving targets.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like everyone thinks they can just do it because they played Virtua Cop, but like it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So he eventually ends up killing the red haired guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's the three remaining guys all come up and give them their IDs and names them.
Yeah.
And says, listen, if you do this, I'm coming for you. If you say anything about this. And the last one leaves, goes, Hey man, you're on fire.
Yeah.
Cause he set his pocket on fire with the gun.
Firing a gun through it. Oh, Skinny Pete's sport jacket.
Yeah.
And Jesse has won, you know, he goes and he grabs the duffel bag of cash from the drawer that Neil pointed out, and then rigs up some welding torches to blow, you know, so that the immediate evidence is hidden. Right.
Yep. And then does a kind of cool, slow walk away in front of an explosion.
Yeah.
A little bit. We get a flashback to Jesse taking an ice bath in a hotel, and then being on the phone and flirting with Jane. You know, here, and we find out this is right after 4 days out.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a hotel with Walt.
Yeah,
you know, they had just got the RV restarted, and they're making their way back.
Yeah, they stop at a diner to have like a salad bar buffet lunch. Jesse gets in a yab bitch after he loads up his plate. That was not on the script.
On pineapple.
Just so much pineapple. That's too much pineapple, bro.
Like pineapple.
only assholes don't like pineapple.
Pineapple's the bomb.
Yeah. You know, Jesse pays the waiter to leave a water pitcher for them. Mm-hmm. And we see Walt. He's here, you know, we've got Walt. It's like, wow, it's like I'm here with Sinatra.
Mm-hmm. He's like, listen, you should eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need the bromine, right? You need that bromine, like you said, electrolytes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not bromelain.
Yeah.
You know, not bromine.
Yeah,
that's close. Well, it's not even close.
Yeah. So what Jesse's doing here is saying like, oh, you should be eating pineapple because of your cancer. Mm-hmm. This is a very cute detail because like bromelain is like the enzyme in pineapple that will like fight inflammation or tumor growth, or people claim it does or whatever. I love this because like this is information that Jesse retained from his aunt having cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just one of those little pieces of like, I don't know, like folk medicine wisdom, you know, like, oh, this food will do that, etc.
The Walt is coughing in this. And he asks, you know, how long is it going to take to sell this batch? 6 months. He doesn't know that he has 6 months. And Jesse says something really kind. Like, listen, you know, your family's going to get all the money that's coming to them, even if you die.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to take care of it. And this sends Walt into teacher mode.
Yeah.
You know, because this is still pretty early in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still pretty caring.
Yeah.
Here. You know, what are you going to do with all that money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if you went to college?
Yeah.
You know, and Jesse laughs and he goes, why wouldn't you, you know, like what interests you? What do you like?
Yeah.
You know, and this is just guidance counselor shit. This is self-serving Walt saying it, but it's also a degree of caring.
Yeah.
You know, there's a degree of warmth in this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's also an echo of the Mike flashback, although just this happened first, but you know, we saw the Mike one first, like, you know, so like, what are you going to be? This is, you know, a question about Jesse's future. What this
movie
is. They
do it again at the end of Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
Like have a lot of people answer the same question.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesse says like, oh, sports medicine, which comes out of nowhere. And Walt says like, oh, you know, business and marketing, you could practically teach that class, right?
Yeah. You know, wouldn't that be cool? And he kind of buys it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then Walt fucks up.
Yeah.
This is the first step of getting your GED. And why the fuck would I need a GED? I have a diploma.
Uh-huh.
You know, you were standing right on stage when they handed it to me.
He just assumed he was a dropout. Yeah. Oh.
You know. They drop it and Walt just says, you know, listen, Jesse, you're really lucky. You know, you didn't have to wait your whole life to do something special through this. You know, he's dying. This is morose.
Yeah.
Know, season 2 Walt.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut to, he's made it. We don't see the disappearer. Don't do all that stuff. He's driven to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
They're driving up this windy, snowy road, the US-Canada border. And, Ed signals for him to get out. He's in grandma's attic.
Yep.
Which is that little space in that brand of moving truck.
I almost could just wrote this down as Grandma's Attic, but I didn't know if you would know what that refers to.
I don't know why that's stuck in my head. Yeah. I mean, I've moved a bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like we have and Grandma's Attic.
Yeah.
And it's just a little like
it's a
4x4x8
yeah.
12 cubic zone.
Uh-huh. It's just
you could possibly fit some extra boxes in, but they're real into it.
Yeah, no, they really love like U-Haul specifically like names that, and it's just a part like the part of the box that goes over the cab, and that's it.
Yeah. And you know that old expression, Grandma's Attic?
Uh-huh.
Like, why is it Grandma's Attic? I don't know. It's real weird. But he's sleeping in Grandma's Attic.
Yes, he's up there. He's up there. He's got a lamp and a space heater there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he stands in the back of the truck. He's looking at Alaska. You know, and Ed gives him the rundown. You know, mm-hmm. basically like you're about 40 miles from Haines. You know, now let's do a quick quiz. You know, what's your name? What's your father's maiden? You know, father's name. What's your mother's maiden name? What's your social security number? Forwards, backwards. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing on the trip, is basically memorizing this shit, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. That's a long drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and Ed asks, like, hey, do you need anything else? And Jesse hands him a greeting card. You know, we see, obviously, this is for Brock. It's kind of, you know, the only thread left dangling. And, you know, Ed reads what Jesse wrote and asks Jesse to be the one to seal it up. And says,
yep.
you know, well, I'm going to be in Mexico City in about a month. I will, you know, mail it from there. So the story holds and kind of mm-hmm. gives him like the little farewell speech saying, you know, not many of us get a chance to start fresh. Good luck, Mr. Driscoll.
Yeah. So he drives the pickup truck away and when he looks over, we get a flashback and it's Jane's there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a flashback of the young Jesse and Jane.
Yeah.
They stop by the side of the road. And Jesse says, listen, I was thinking about that thing you said about going where the universe takes you. I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And it's a great philosophy. And Jane fires back truthfully, that's a terrible philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've spent my whole life going where the universe takes me and it doesn't take me anywhere good. You mm-hmm. have to make those decisions yourself.
Yeah. It's a good little lesson. And the final shot of this is basically a mirror of, you know, his escape from the compound, except instead of, you know, screaming and, you know, laughing and sobbing, he's just like mm-hmm. staring calmly into the camera, into the future. Yeah.
Yeah.
Driving.
There is an appeal to this,
mm-hmm.
you know, the idea of just like, yeah, fresh start.
Yeah.
You know, good for him. It's the, he suffered for it. You mm-hmm. know, there's a lot of like people talking about the moral valence of Better Call Saul characters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't handle Jesse being a slave. He kind of gets like, you know, this is a fresh start. He's relatively young. This is pretty sick.
Yeah.
This thing he gets, but he suffered so fucking much for it.
Yeah.
That, like it feels like justice.
Mm-hmm.
To me, feels good, not just because it's a character I like, something good happening to them, but it feels like the moral math works out without remainders to me.
Yeah. Of like all the main movers and shakers, like he is, you know, like it's basically like him and Skylar are the ones yeah. who like, I think most deserve to get out of the blast zone, you know, the fallout, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get to see this, a different articulation of this with Saul.
Yes.
You know, over the course of six seasons.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, in 2 weeks, we're doing the response episode. But then.
But then, Better Call Saul. I'm so excited. So excited to move on to that.
Yeah. We have new album art.
We do.
For that. I'm going to look up that artist real quick.
Zilla.
The name escapes me.
Zilla. Is their name. Yeah.
Yeah. Big thanks to Zilla for the new album art, which mm-hmm. you'll see soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we think is real cool, and we think you'll like it as well.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to rewatch it. I've watched the first season of Better Call Saul twice, but mm-hmm. all the rest of it I've only seen once. So it is relatively new to me.
Yeah. I think I've been through it like three times, something like that. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just compulsive rewatch. It's good. It's a good show. I want to watch it.
Nice to get the insights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else? You know, Dave, final thoughts on El Camino?
I mean, it's a great send off. Like I'm happy we get what we get with, you know, Jesse at the, you know, toward the end of Better Call Saul. Like that is a fine end of the person he talks to. I think it's very important mm-hmm. that they get a chance to meet. I'm happy that this is like chronologically the last thing we see. Like I don't need the story where he's like up in Alaska and his, you know, old life comes back to haunt him or whatever. Yeah,
he slowly gets more back into crying.
Yeah.
No. You know, like the monochroma ha for Jesse. Like if he got back into it, like one of my single favorite thing in Better Call Saul is Gene Takovic
uh-huh.
not being adequate.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way in that series, people who have done horrible things punish themselves by creating like life prisons.
Yep.
For themselves, and varying people can take it or not take it. And Saul not being able to hack that.
Mm-hmm.
I really like.
Yeah.
I feel like Jesse could.
Yeah. Jesse could.
You know, he's ultimately been through more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to see all kinds of tragedies for Saul. But this is, I think it's, the worst I think a character gets at.
Yeah.
Of the mains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. El Camino, yeah. Good.
Yeah, quite good. If you're listening to this, it's too late to write in. We've given you so many fucking chances.
Please.
You know, if you want to be like, oh man, I meant to write in and I didn't, I have some sympathy for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, but come on.
Yeah.
You had a long time. So next episode is going to be the DVD special features, all the El Camino special features we can find,
mm-hmm.
And your responses to Breaking Bad Season 5 and El Camino. Then we're starting Better Call Saul.
Yep.
With Uno. Very excited.
Mm-hmm. No break between the seasons or anything like that. We're just going to go.
Yep. Thanks everyone for listening. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have friends who are getting into this kind of, you know, TV universe,
mm-hmm.
send them our way. We would appreciate it. If you want us to keep doing this, if you like our shows, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Mm-hmm.
That is how we can afford to hire artists for cool new album art,
yeah.
and how we can afford rent,
yeah.
or mortgage,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff. How we can hire our wonderful producer, Gwen.
Who we would like you to
keeps
thank.
Keeps us going.
Yeah.
Yeah. We require you to thank.
Mm-hmm.
But it's how we, you know, if you want this spigot to keep going, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget how we sign off.
We usually tell somebody not to do something that one of the characters does,
mm-hmm.
in this, but everybody makes pretty good decisions in this.
Yeah. Resolve your next conflict with a Wild West shootout.
Yeah. Either robot or Wild West, you know, robot daughter or Wild West shootout son.